We used to think a cashless society as something that is way off in the distant future, but that is simply not the case. The truth is, a cashless society is much closer than most people would ever dare to imagine. Now, many Chinese people say that cash is no longer necessary. Mobile payment methods are just as good, if not better. So, let's talk about, are we entering a cashless society here in China?
It's kind of possible. Well, according to Beijing Youth Daily, a newspaper, more than 70% of Chinese internet users are saying carrying cash is no longer necessary, as payment methods such as barcode scanning, China Union Pay, and online payments become increasingly popular. Alipay also announced that it couldpromote China to enter into a no-cash society within 5 years, which triggered heated debate in the society. So Pan Helin, an expert at the Chinese Academy of Fiscal Science, said cashless payment does not mean that people have no cash. It only means that the use of cash is replaced by more convenient methods which allow people to spend without their wallets. People can pay via e-payment without barriers, which comes a mainstream payment method in the society. And unlike Western countries, China has developed a new route to becoming a cashless society based not on credit cards, but on mobile payment. This was said by Meng Tian, a deputy director of the Institute of Technology and Finance at Shanghai University. And during the just concluded two sessions, at least three national lawmakers and political advisors has handed in motions and proposals calling for the country to enter the no-cash society. So people are pretty excited about it, and they're saying it is kind of convenient, and people are liking the idea of a cashless society.
Yeah, and I don't think it's people just in China. Data from Nielsen, a famous market research firm, showed that mobile payment took up 43% of all non-cash payments in the world, and 86% of Chinese consumers use mobile payments. So it's definitely becoming something that's common, not just in China, but all over the place. But what I think is really interesting is that here in China, we see such a high penetration of how these mobile payments are used in maybe like rural places, whereas maybe opposed to like in the U.S., if you went to some of the rural areas in Texas, they wouldn't know what this is at all, you know. But most mobile payment users live in small cities and towns, accounting for 19.6%. There's 19% that are in provincial capitals here in China. And then you have your 17% that live in the rural areas. That's almost on par with the provincial capitals. And recent data from Alipay also showed that the percentage of mobile payments in Tibet reached 90%. So, I mean, this isn't something that you're just seeing in places like Beijing or Shanghai, these mega cities. But this is all over China, so I think it's definitely a trend that's going to keep pushing forward.
This is really interesting what we see that's going on, especially that figure that Ryan just cited about Tibet. I think on the one hand, I am astounded because I did not know that mobile coverage or internet coverage is so comprehensive as far away as, let's say, in Tibet. But on the other hand, it makes perfect sense that if you live in a remote area, then it would be difficult to go to your nearest Walmart, or what are the major supermarkets in China? I don't even...
Walmart? There's Walmart,
right? It's possible it's different,
different
regions. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really difficult to find these physical stores to get all the stuff you need. Mm. And now if you have internet coverage, and then it's all possible done online. So that sounds convenient, and that sounds like the way we should go. And also, another thing that is kind of unique to China to some extent, that we're entering cashless society in a slightly different way than, let's say, some of the Western developed societies. Because I think in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm Chinese. I don't live there all the time. So, yeah, correct me if
Just
I'm
sometimes.
Wrong. But I actually know firsthand, as in New Zealand, when I recently visited, that these societies have entered cashless society, a stage, via credit cards or using debit cards instead of mobile payment, though. And China sort of skipped the everybody using card phase and went directly into, let's just swipe everything using your smartphone, using the mobile payment method.
Yeah, maybe I can talk about that a little bit, because I also noticed this too, and I think it's really interesting. Because, you know, we talked about used cars the other day and how it's kind of becoming an up-and-coming market here in China, but, you know, used cars or reselling your car, you could get some really old models of cars in the U.S., and that is because I think the lifestyle in the U.S. has developed over so long. You know, we've had such a long history of developing since the 1950s, even before, where I think, you know, for such a long time, we were pioneering the world of all these different kinds of ways to pay and buy the latest model of car and these kind of things. But now China is developing so fast. And I think now China is taking the reins as being that country that pioneers all these new ways to do things. And so I think that's what we're seeing here is, like, you know, in the U.S., I think people are still very much tied to the card culture, something physical. I think they don't want to let go of the past. But here in China, I think, you know, they've developed so fast that this is their future, their present, and their past all in one. Everybody's seeing this, and it's just at the right place at the right time because China's developed so fast. Yet this history of development in the U.S., you know, we've had these credit cards, these debit cards for so long. We've relied on them. They've gotten us out of hairy situations. We love them. We go to sleep with them at night. No, that's an exaggeration. But we're definitely very attached to our cards. We even have, like, cute pictures on them sometimes.
See, when you describe that, I feel like now Chinese people do go to sleep with their phones aside.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's just like a different organ.
Fan, man, fan.
We're all like you.
for some people, your cell phone is the only thing you carry with you when you go to shower. So it's really another organ to Chinese people. And that is why, I think that is one factor that is promoting this cashless society, because we really don't need a cash or card or wallet. We just need our phone. And the thing is, if you don't use your phone to pay, you still need it everywhere. So why not just include that function into your phone, like, as well? And also, actually, using smartphones, you can now register at hospitals online and pay medical fees by scanning barcodes. And in some cities, most small shops accept cashless payment methods, mostly mobile payment. And then not only stores, some street vendors selling snacks, vegetables, fruits. I've actually bought a lot of fruit using my Alipay. That is kind of weird, but I liked it. So it's easier. That is, I feel like, the most important thing, convenience.
Yeah, convenience in the form of consolidation. I think we like to consolidate stuff. We like to make everything into one thing. We don't like to have so much stuff on our plate. It's just the human condition. I think this translates over all cultures. We don't want to have... Oh, you know, I think when I was looking at this, I immediately thought of my age. I'm in my late 20s. I'm 29. But I remember when I was
a young kid.
No, hear me
still
out.
Young.
Hear me out.
Looks
here.
Great. Don't feel bad about it.
Hear me out. Well, you guys.
Sorry to throw you off.
But my dad, when I was growing up, he bought me my first wallet, right? Mm-hmm. Handed it to me, and he's like, Ryan, this is a part of you. Never leave it anywhere. Always have it on you. It's going to have your identity. It's going to have everything you need to get through, you know, life. And now, I'm like, Dad, did you not see the future, Dad? Come on, I don't need this wallet anymore. But it's kind of, we've consolidated. We don't need a wallet and a phone. Now we just need a phone. You know, to bike scan, to probably in the future do all of your metro and bus traveling, as New Hong Lin had said.
Mm-hmm.
To do your hospital payments. To buy your fruit. New Hong Lin.
I like my Brian. Fruit. Oh, yeah. Oh, I missed
that.
Yeah,
she said she bought fruit, yeah.
Oh, okay. Got that. And, yeah, all the things you crazy kids can do online these days. Well, Sister He Yang does not get all of that. Come on, let's think about all those people who are like me or a little bit older who are technological Luddites that... Well, we find the old-fashioned wallet to be still relevant as, you know, there's still new designs of such, and it looks good with your outfit, and sometimes you can pick them out. Anyway, so what are the, you know, the other side of the story? Are we... Because I don't think this is a one-sided story that without setbacks are we marching into or getting on the way into a cashless society.
Well, one thing I thought of immediately is we talk about keyboard heroes, but let's talk about keyboard villains, okay? The thing is, when we often say that the digital world is a wild, wild west. It's a place where sometimes people can... You know, explore new ways of scamming you and taking your money or even getting hacked in certain circumstances. It depends on how much more these people know about the digital ongoings than we do. You know, for us, this digital thing, we know it only on a surface level. But there's those that can go much deeper into the digital world and understand the finite ways these things work. And for us... We don't know how to combat that because generally maybe we do other things where our areas of expertise aren't in the digital flowing and comings and goings. So I think I speculate that instead of someone coming and nabbing your wallet, you know, getting pickpocketed, now you'll have it maybe in a digital form where someone could, from the convenience of his home, scam you and in a way pickpocket you via digital phone. Devices.
Yes, and one more thing I'd like to mention here is that I feel like a good policy would be a policy that left no one behind. But this is somehow you feel like if we're all using cashless payment, maybe using our phone, it's possible it's not friendly to those elder folks who maybe... Or people living in rural area or poor conditions.
It's not fair for us people.
No, and also we see these
Even
kind
the
of...
Even people in rural areas are ahead of you, Hayao.
Actually, I have an argument for that, or against that, actually. Yes, okay, you could be partially correct, Ryan. Mm. But I think the figures we cited earlier about the percentage of people in different kind of cities and tier of cities are using mobile payment, it was more of a comparison amongst the... registered mobile payment users.
Yes.
So we still don't know what the percentage in comparison is of mobile payment used in one city as opposed to everything else.
Yes. And
so there is still the a possibility that a lot of these smaller cities or county areas and also rural areas that have the majority of shoppers, consumers using cash or other traditional methods to pay. Mm-hmm. But some of them are also using the new way of payment called mobile payment. So that's also possible.
Yes. And also I feel like using mobile payment is somehow a first step into a new error or something. We don't know what will happen in the future. Maybe you need your cell phone to do all of your paperwork procedure kind of thing. And when that comes, it is possible for those people who are not familiar with modern technology, mm-hmm. and it's going to be hard for them. And this is not the first time that we introduce some kind of technology into the society. I'm talking about the buying your train ticket online and maybe get ahead to book that ticket so everyone else won't get yours, so you book it in advance. And those technology has been kind of criticized because it's not friendly to people who are not familiar with internet, namely maybe people from the rural area. Mm. So they can get a train ticket to get home, and that is sad.
You know, another thing I wanted to say too is I don't think this is necessarily something that I don't think we'll be seeing a cashless society in 5 years. I disagree with the people that are saying this. Just because as long as we need to buy things at any time. You know, we could be walking down the street and all of a sudden we need to buy something. We could be on a date and we need to pay for dinner, there's not a moment where we aren't ready to make a purchase, I think, nowadays. Yet our devices are reliant on things like cell phone service or Wi-Fi or power. And the thing is, when your money is reliant on these kind of things you sometimes still, many times actually, don't have, I think there will always be a need, a backup, if you will, which is cash, which is a card even. Because, you know, card, in a way, it's kind of that physical meets digital. It is just a card, but it could have an X amount of dollars on it. But still, you know, it doesn't need Wi-Fi. You know, it doesn't need power, these kind of things. But our phones do. So imagine, you know, if you are one of those people that's like, yeah, you know, no cash. I'm on the board with that. So you go out on a date and you just realize that this date place doesn't have Wi-Fi and you're like, yeah, can you pay for dinner?
Yeah.
Date over.
I do agree with you there because it reminds me of this paperless office thing. It's like we have this notion that we have our phones, we have tablets, we have computers, so we don't need paper anymore. But it's not the case because for some people, they still need printed out on a paper kind of contract, or some people... like me, sometimes I just need the words on the paper so I can read it. So maybe this notion is new and fun and fabulous and looks so fancy that in 5 years we are entering a cashless society. That idea is still like, I don't think it's going to happen either.
Yeah, actually, but I would like to talk about some of the good things that come of this. You know, I don't remember specifically the amount or whatnot, but I do remember being surprised at how many germs are on things like notes and whatnot. So there's health concerns. Maybe we'll get sick less. That's a plus, right? Also, according to The End of Money, a book written by David Wolfman, journalist of The Wired, banknotes usually can be used for only like 3 years. That makes sense because they're being passed around a lot, right? But the book revealed, like, let's say in the U.S., the government spent $110 billion U.S. dollars in managing cash in 2005. So imagine if we can cut that kind of expenditure out and maybe put it in places where it'd be more useful to society and whatnot. That sounds nice. Also, one personal thing I thought was really nice is maybe the end of fake notes.
Mm, because, that's a good point.
Yes, because many times, you know, people will give you a fake note, you taxis and whatnot, and sometimes taxis don't accept these mobile payments, but I've noticed they have more and more, which is really nice because maybe in those kind of scenarios, that's when you get these fake notes and you're out a lot more money than you expected. Whereas with this kind of digital currency, these kind of fake notes problem won't be a problem, as far as I know.
That's very interesting, and maybe that is one of the many advantages that, having digital.
You gotta come out of that cave, Hyog.
Yeah. You almost convinced almost, but you failed.
No!
Yeah. Okay, here, I have an argument against that. Okay, so let's say if we turn everything digital, you know what that also means? That means that you are leaving a digital foot trail of every single transaction, every single activity you've done online. So now, you know, here we're talking about buying stuff, trading, and all kinds of things that's related to cash, to money. That's one thing. But also, when you're on social media or whatever you're doing online, everything is being recorded. And all that data goes somewhere. Right now, maybe it's stored in the cloud, but in the future, I mean, who knows? That's gonna get their hands on all that information. Maybe you think that you're not a big deal. You're no big potato. Who wants to get information of me buying shoes? Actually, in the future, some business is gonna get their hands on that, or a government can get their hands on that too. So I think there is this sense of uneasiness of who's going to have that ultimate power. And I think that is not just a philosophical question, but it is one thing we should think about and should come up with policies that can address such problems.
Well, first of all, I'm no potato, okay?
Yeah, you're
unless
a big
I'm on
one.
A couch,
is that okay?
Then I'm on a couch potato, okay?
Oh,
but, you know, talking about these receipts, Actually, I disagree. I think it's so convenient because receipts fade away with time, these kinds of things. But what if I want to return something? What if, you know, it's saving paper, these kinds of things? Why do all these documents have to be, why do trees have to die for our receipts and our purchases? I mean, I'm just kidding, but
and also
basically
making cash.
And making cash. These kinds of things, it's kind of sustainable in so many ways.
And also, this just reminds me of Godfather. Okay, that's way back in the future. In the history, I mean.
Yeah.
What about Italian mafias or Japanese triads?
They won't have a chance.
They always do business in cash. Why is that? Okay, I'm promoting the wrong kind of idea here. But there's a reason, because cash is security and cash doesn't leave proof. And although I'm a small potato, I'm not like you, Ryan, but I like to keep everything as clean as possible. That includes my record, my history, and I like my things to be safe and nobody keeping tabs on me if possible.
I do agree with you here, because when I was on Taobao buying things, they actually started to recommend things that I've searched before, and that feels weird. It's like someone is looking at you, looking at what you're looking at, and then provide you with that choices. And that is creepy. And also, maybe in the future, now we're using mobile phone payment thing, but in the future, it can all go to biotechnique. So you're using your fingerprint, you're using your iris, maybe sometimes you're using your sound wave. It's all going to get super complicated, and identity theft would be a thing.
You know, you already have such a digital footprint. Your foot is literally halfway in the pool. Actually, half of your body's dunked in the pool via this digital footprint. It's something you just got to accept, I think. And as long as you're not buying like really weird stuff, I think, you know, your digital footprint will be similar to everybody else's, and I think you just don't have a whole lot to worry about.
All right. Well, you might want to get yourself all immersed in wetness, whatever it is. I want to get out of that pool, if possible. And but you know I'm old-fashioned in that regard, and we belong to different camps, and we have different opinion on cashless society, the good and bad about that, and we want to know what you think.